Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we are talking about Season 44, Episode 16, from March 30th, 2019, with Sandra Oh hosting and Tame Impala musical guesting.
Tame Impala, the tamest of the Impalas.
Yes, yes.
Not like that wild Impala.
No, we couldn't. They are not ready for prime time.
Yes, this is mild Impala, like a fine taco sauce.
Yes, yes.
I don't know where I was going with that. I
don't either.
My improv skills are not the best.
Yeah, we haven't recorded in 2 weeks, so we're slightly rusty.
Yeah, we gotta get back up on the horse there.
We're feeling our way back into it.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I remember this.
Remember when we had new episodes to talk about?
Yeah, that was seems like such a long time ago.
I know. So, how you doing? Are you doing okay?
Doing all right, not bad. Living the life, chasing a dream, doing a-okay.
You were
kicking down the cobblestones.
You were telling me before we started recording that some people online, they're saying that you sound like John C. Reilly.
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but like it was actually a while ago, but like I think maybe somebody, one of the people that follow us on Twitter was saying something like, oh, there's that one guy that sounds like John C. Reilly on this podcast, and I mean, you don't sound like him at all. So
I guess not.
I mean, they might be talking about, but I don't think so. Like, so that only leaves me.
I mean, honestly, I've never really contemplated which one of us sounds like John C. Reilly.
I guess I do have a tendency to like slur my words a little bit, like John C. Reilly does, because John C. has that, you know, hey everybody, like, like. So I guess I'm more a little bit like that. That was a dead on John C. Reilly. Right?
Could you do that again?
Like, hey, everybody, Jagalagawaga. Something like he has like that way of talking, like that Chicago slurry, like hey, shake and bake, Gagawaga, like type of thing. Maybe that's not the best. I'll admit it.
It's getting progressively worse.
It is. I'll admit that. It's not. It's kind of like a Bobcat Goldthwait from the 80s, but not quite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So. Apparently, people think I sound like John C. Reilly. So, guys, tweet at us and chime in and let me know.
Yeah, let us know. I'm very intrigued by this now.
Yeah, and if I don't sound like John C. Reilly, who do I sound like?
Yeah,
you know, give a name to my voice.
Who are our sound-alikes? I don't know.
Have you ever been told that you sound like a celebrity?
I can't think of anybody right now. I mean, I've been told I look like Joss Whedon.
Oh, I could see that.
Actually, when I went to a marathon of the Marvel movies before the first Avengers film, like I was mistaken for Joss Whedon.
Wow.
Sitting and also once at a Comic-Con, I was called Joss Whedon.
Joss-alike.
A comics professional.
Yeah. So, haven't also people said you look like Richard Mall from Night Court?
Like okay. Our friend Jackie Byrne.
Shout out to Jackie Byrne.
Once said on stage when she was introducing me at a show at Tierney's Tavern in Montclair, she said, I looked like Bull Shannon from Night Court, but sexy.
There you go.
I don't think that's a compliment. Is that a compliment? That didn't seem like a compliment to me.
Once a woman says, but sexy, that's a compliment.
I guess.
The bull is loose.
I once had a woman post on my Facebook wall around Halloween, you'd make a hot Frankenstein, which... weirdest compliment I've ever gotten.
She said you'd be hot.
But Frankenstein is like composed of corpses.
He is, yeah.
If you died and started to decay and then someone dug up your body and sewed those parts together with other corpses, you would be very attractive. You could pull that off.
Yeah, but but what she's saying is you're made up of the hot dead people sewn together.
Right.
So they're dead, but they're hot. So you're like a hot dead person.
So it's like a Voltron type supermodel.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay,
there you go. See, that's a compliment. You should wear that with pride. Put that on your Tinder profile. Hey, okay. Ladies, if you wanna get with a hot dead Frankenstein, you know, swipe right.
This episode's gotten off to a weird start.
It has. I don't know where this came from.
Yeah,
there's a reason why we haven't done this in a few weeks.
Anyway, Sandra Oh and Tame Impala.
Yeah.
So should we dive into it? Should we start talking about the episode?
For God's sakes, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, so we started out with a cold open. We had, as you predicted.
Yeah, I tweeted out, like, on our SNL Nerds Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. So we're all in agreement that De Niro is going to come out as Mueller in the cold open. Because, I mean, it's the newest thing, mm-hmm. and they always open political. Mostly, they open politically, so I was like, they got to open with...
And during the hiatus, and when SNL was off for a couple weeks, Robert Mueller turned in his report, which has not been released in full to the public yet. Mm-hmm. It has been summarized by William Barr,
right?
The attorney general that Trump appointed.
Billy Barr.
So this one, we had De Niro returning as Robert Mueller. We had A.D. Bryant as William Barr.
Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin as
overlord.
That guy.
This opening was rough.
Yeah, I mean, basically the what they had was that they had Robert Mueller like reading excerpts from the report, William Barr summarizing it and putting the best possible spin on it, and then it would further degenerate into a Trump tweet.
Right. Because that's our reality now.
Yeah.
And I got the concept, but I don't know, the execution. What do you think?
It didn't have the laughs that it should have. It was a decent concept, I think.
Yeah.
But it just, not much of it stuck with me, quite honestly.
Yeah, the same thing. And then even when Kay McKinnon came out as Giuliani.
That I enjoyed. Yeah. I enjoyed her like sort of rising up like a Nosferatu out of a coffin.
That's how she's playing Giuliani, you know, like a... Like the undead.
I enjoy how her characterizations of Giuliani and some of the other Trump people she plays are getting more and more bizarre.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
But yeah, it was just...
It was a weak open.
Yeah, it was weak. I mean, the one line I liked when Trump, you know, Alec Baldwin as Trump tweeted out, like, hashtag, I'm the greatest president, hashtag, FDR, but with legs.
Yes.
I thought, all right. It got a big groan from the audience, but I was like, all right, that's kind of funny. But yeah, mm-hmm. as far as the cold open in general was just like, all right.
Yeah, it was not what it should have been.
Yeah.
So next we had the monologue. With our host, Sandra Oh, coming out.
Sandra.
This is kind of cool, which is she's the second Asian woman to host SNL this season.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had Awkwafina earlier this year.
And third Asian woman overall to do
that. That's right. So we had two in one season.
Yeah. Progress.
Progress.
We're doing it.
And then three in 44 years.
Yeah, all right. We're getting there.
So that's cool.
Rome wasn't built in the day.
Yeah, she talked about how she has trouble accepting compliments because she's Canadian. Yeah. And also,
I didn't even know that she was Canadian. Yeah,
I didn't realize that either.
She's from Ottawa, grew up in the suburbs of Ottawa.
And she said because of that, she has trouble accepting compliments, and also because she's Asian, right. And Asian people have trouble accepting compliments.
Right.
According to her, I didn't know that was a thing.
I guess it is. I didn't know because I don't see color.
Okay.
hashtag woke.
And Leslie Jones came out in a cameo to try and coach her into how to better accept compliments.
Right. It's pretty. I didn't write much down any because like nothing really stood out.
It was
like, all right, it's good. Because like they're doing a thing like we said before, where in the monologues they kind of making. The hosts are making them more autobiographical, like mm-hmm. more about them and how they grew up.
It's about their personal journey to come to SNL,
Yeah, like Idris did it, and mm-hmm. McAvoy did it, and Matt Damon doing so. This is just kind of a offshoot of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. It was,
yeah.
But didn't, yeah, like, much like the cold open, didn't really spark anything.
There wasn't much that was terribly memorable about it.
Yeah, not really.
So, I mean, she was certainly enthusiastic. She was certainly game.
Yeah. I like Sandra Oh is a great host. I think she was, like, for most of, well, we'll talk about it, but most of the sketches too, and she was very game, very
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
I still don't understand that joke from when Awkwafina played her, where they said, like, she gives speeches, like, right after she comes out of the shower.
I gotta look that up. Tweet at us if you understood that. Yeah, because I didn't understand that.
Like, is that a thing that happens on Killing Eve?
I mean, it happened, like, once or twice, maybe, but...
Okay.
Not enough that you would reference it in your opening monologue.
Yeah. It was just very strange.
It was a bit baffling.
Yeah. I still don't get that joke.
All right, guys, tweet at us. Let us know.
So let's see. Next, we have the first sketch, which was a film segment. It was parodying the Discover Card ads where you call up to the Discover people, and you're talking to yourself.
Yeah, it's because in Discover, like, their thing, their gimmick is that, like, whenever you call them, you talk to a person, not an automated voicemail.
And we treat you how you treat you.
Right. So
I think their slogan.
Yeah, so if anybody's seen the Discover car commercials, a person picks up a phone, and it's them on the other line helping them.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did here is they combined that with the movie Us.
By Jordan Peele. Mm-hmm.
The new Hitchcock, as many people are saying.
Is that what they're saying?
A lot of people are saying that.
Okay.
They're like, he's the dude. He's the new Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. But actually, this one was like headed up by Ego Nwodum.
Was nice to see her like prominently featured in a sketch. It's nice to see her getting a little more traction as the season goes on.
Yeah, yeah. So in this one, Ego. Sorry. I apologize. So like, she picks up the phone to talk to the Discover rep, and it's her tethered. I saw her
doppelganger.
Yeah, I saw Us last week. So
okay,
I know the terminology.
I still have not seen Us.
It's very good.
I still have not seen Get Out. That's how far behind
seen Get
I
Out?
Am in my movies. Yeah.
Why do you hate black cinema, John Trump?
Oh well, there's so many reasons here.
Oh Jesus Christ! I didn't expect that answer at all. Wow. Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final episode of SNL Nerds.
You can't give me a setup like
that. I know. That's my fault, I guess.
No.
I had that coming.
I wanted to see Get Out. I'm a fan of Jordan Peele.
Okay.
I mean, if I can still say that without having seen Get Out. But okay. No, I was just exceptionally busy when it happened to come out, and it hasn't come to any of the streaming services that I have. So
it hasn't?
That I have.
I remember that being on like HBO like a couple of months ago.
Which I don't have.
What do you have? You don't have HBO Go or HBO Now?
Nope.
Dude, we'll just rent it from the library or something.
Yeah, like, I should do that. Yeah.
Dude, Get Out is solid, and Us is solid too. Like, if you haven't seen Us, it's very good. It's if you're expecting it to be like Get Out, it's really not. It's its own.
I probably would not be not having seen Get Out.
Oh, okay, very good. But the sketch, right. So this sketch, she talks then to her Us doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's pretty much it. Like, the whole sketch kind of revolves around the fact of the movie Us. So if you haven't seen the movie Us, you kind of wouldn't get it.
I mean, I got that they were referencing Us, and it didn't really go much beyond that.
Yeah, very much so.
Because I only sort of vaguely know.
Yeah, it leaned very heavy on the Us nostalgia, I guess, or the Us notoriety. And
it's a bit early for the nostalgia.
Yeah,
since it's only been out for a couple of weeks.
It's only been out for a week.
Remember that movie we saw a couple of weeks ago?
It's pretty. Remember that?
That's good times.
Oh, man, it was such a different time, such a different place.
We were so young and
oh my god,
innocent then.
Oh Lord.
Time
after time. I thought the sketch was all right, but it did lean very heavy on.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen the movie Us, you wouldn't. You kind of get it, but wouldn't.
Yeah, and that was pretty much my reaction. I kind of got it. I was like, oh, they're referencing Us.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, Ego was good at it. Ego. God damn it.
Ego.
Ego was good in it. And
like the waffle.
Ego, okay. And Keenan was good in it, too. But, yeah, as far as sketches go, it's just like, okay. I feel like they do this a lot where they have to do a sketch where they have to reference something that just happened recently, but they don't go much into actually, you know, having some like jokes with it. like they see, like, it's more, it's like, oh, we have to do a sketch about the movie Us, or we have to do a movie about A Quiet Place, or do a sketch about A Quiet Place or something that came out. But like, the actual concept and jokes around it are like kind of come secondary to the fact that they have to do something.
Right. Right.
And I felt like this was like that.
And
also the other next sketch after this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But we'll talk about that later.
Well, let's dive into that.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a sketch around Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, there's, it's like Lee Daniels and a bunch of the people at Empire are having, you know, saying, well, we got to, you know, what are we going to do about this Jussie situation? And Sandra Oh plays his rep. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Jussie Smollett is late, and he comes in. It's like, guys, you're not going to believe what happened. You know, I got costed again by some,
and he had a bag of clues. He had what was the first thing? It was it was something, a white thing. It was some product that had white in the name of it, and I didn't write it down.
I didn't write it down either.
But it was like supposed to be a clue, and it was like, what do you think that means, guys? And it was like hinting that it was a racially motivated thing, right. And then he pulls out like three letters, and they're all K's.
Yeah, it's like, what is this?
What could this mean? And nobody in the meeting, the boardroom, is buying it for a second,
right? And but like, he just keeps going. And it's like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a receipt. Oh wait, I need to keep this.
Yeah,
and it's just that was pretty much it. It didn't really go anywhere.
It was a very sketch. It just didn't.
Yeah. And that's the first sketch, and I was like, again, this is like a sketch where it felt like, well, this Jussie Smollett thing is topical and it's just happened, so we have to do a sketch about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, that's fine if you have jokes to go with
if
that.
If you have a concept for the sketch,
yeah. But like, just to do it, yeah. It's just like, why would then don't do it if you don't have like something to say?
I find that jokes are a good feature to have in a comedy sketch,
right? Look, this might be a radical idea, guys. We're just two guys from Jersey, you know. So just hear us out. But maybe if you have like something to say or some jokes in a sketch, it might go a little further.
Yeah, just very lackluster.
Yeah, very much so. And then of course he called himself the gay Tupac and the gay Mike Tyson and the gay Lee Daniels, and I was like, all right, there's something there.
Yeah, I was just.
And that was it.
Yeah,
it petered out much like our discussion of it.
Yeah. Well, there's just not much to say about it, or honestly, a lot of the sketches they did in the show. I think it was kind of a lackluster show overall.
No, I agree. It was just, I mean, every show has peaks and valleys, but this episode seemed to have more valleys.
Yeah, I have a lot of in my notes.
Meh.
So, yeah.
All right.
Next, the thing was a little better. It was another film segment called Duel.
The Duel.
Excuse me. Yeah. If it was Duel, it would be a truck chasing Dennis Weaver around the countryside.
Oh, shit. And, you remember you probably had Dennis Weaver references.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Damn.
So this is a gun battle.
Yeah, like a Victorian era or Elizabethan era.
Yeah, I guess Elizabethan era from the costumes. Like, you know,
when people wore powdered wigs and fancy stockings.
That's right. And so we had two men. They're both romantically involved with Sandra Oh's character.
It was like Beck Bennett, Pete Davidson. And of course, Kenan Thompson.
Mm-hmm. And Kenan is saying like, okay, you turn around, walk 10 paces, then you turn around and shoot, and then Pete Davidson like shoots the other guy in the back immediately.
Yes,
but it ricochets and then shoots Sandra Oh in the arm.
Right,
and then they keep shooting at each other, and the bullets always ricochet and keep hitting Sandra Oh.
Right, it was very like it took me a minute to realize the way they were going. It seemed because it was like, oh, this is like absurdist type of Monty Python-ish type of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hilarity type of vibe they're going for. Yeah. A lot of people compared it to the Black Knight scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh,
I
saw a comparison to the Sam Peckinpah's Salad Days.
What's that?
It was a Python sketch where they were. It just gets like gratuitously bloody. Like somebody gets hit with a tennis ball, and then he starts bleeding from the eye, and they're like just gushing blood.
Oh everywhere. Yeah, I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and that really fucked me up.
Yeah.
That's Salad Days? And they're like...
Sam Peckinpah's Salad Days, yeah.
Okay, and they're like all kind of dressed in like seersucker suits and horn hats, and they're like, oh, hello there, darling.
Yes.
And then it just ends up with people just getting hit, like blood going everywhere, like somebody throws
and severed limbs. Because Sam Peckinpah was a director who was like very infamous for being very gory and gratuitously violent.
Oh, is that it was?
So that was the joke.
Oh, I never understood that sketch until just now.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. I mean, it was still like, yeah, because like I saw it when I was a kid, and I was like, what the fuck is it? Like, it really like freaked me out. Like, what is it?
How old were you when you saw it?
It's probably like, I don't know, like 12 or 13. Like, I saw it like on, channel 13, like, or 21 or whatever.
When it was on like public TV.
Yeah, and like, I was like, I just watched it because like my dad loves, you know, Monty Python and all those British comedies, and like, I liked it. Some of it I got, some of it I didn't get. like, you know, the Terry Gilliam cartoons I like because it's cartoons. I'm like a kid. But then, like, some stuff, and, you know, the Dead Parrot I thought was funny, and Spam and stuff, just because it's just ridiculous and goofy. But then they had that scene, and I was like, the fuck is it? Like, it really freaked out. I was like, whoa, this took a left turn. And so now I get it. All right. Yeah. Sam Peckinpah. Good.
Sam Peckinpah.
But yeah, a lot of people compare, you know, this sketch to that, and of course the, you know, the
Black Knight,
the Black Knight,
where he's getting the limbs severed, and he's
exactly
just barreling.
I'm invincible.
It was funny. They had Sandra Oh just, she was sort of a parody of the attitudes that people had towards women at the time. She was just like, she was very concerned over the men, even though she was shot multiple times,
and
bleeding profusely. I enjoyed that. This was one of the better things they did.
This was, over it was the night. All right, this is, I see what they're doing here. I can rock with this.
I mean, I liked when they like turned around like and Pete Davidson just like immediately tried shooting the other guy in the back. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the sketch was all right.
So
was, I mean, you know, compared to the other two sketches, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
and then at one point, Keenan mentions like, oh, hey, maybe we should all just get naked, take our clothes off and get naked or something like that.
Oh, I totally forgotten that.
He made a real quick reference saying, oh, well, let's maybe we should all take our clothes off. And like, and the guy was like, what do you mean take our clothes off? What are you talking about? It was really quick. But
it was just random.
Yeah, you know, just random, him wanting all the men to get naked.
Sure. As you do. That's a common dual thing.
Of course. It's in the bylaws or something. All right, so yeah, so next up, it was this kind of interesting sketch. It was like had Mikey Day in it. He played like this kind of scrawny teenager, and
kid named Trent.
Trent, and then he was like in front of this full length mirror, saying, "Oh," and he was like, he was lifting weights, and he's like saying, "Oh, I'll never be a strong guy. I'll just be a weak little nerd forever." And then in the mirror, this vision comes to him, who was like him in the future, and he's like, "No, don't worry, Trent, you're going to be strong like me."
Yeah, you know, and it's Alex Moffat as him 10 years in the future, as the 25-year-old Trent.
Exactly. And then he says, like, not only will you be strong and buff, like, you know, this will be me, but you're also going to have a girlfriend. And his girlfriend turns out to be this 47-year-old woman with a broken arm who's drinking Four Loko, played by Sandra Oh.
Yeah, and Tishy, and
she got that good goo goo or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? She had like a
the good goo goo, I think, is what she called it.
It's very Awkwafina-esque.
It did seem kind of like a character Awkwafina would have done.
And
so basically the joke is Trent is just utterly confused as to why his future self is with this strange, weird, trashy woman.
Right. And then he keeps asking the future stuff like, "Why? So what's going on with that? Why are we with her? I don't understand." And then, Kyle Mooney comes in as like the future version.
It was Beck Bennett.
Was it Beck Bennett? No. Mm-hmm. Didn't Kyle Mooney come in at one point?
Oh, Kyle didn't.
He did, because he came in at one point as like the future version of like a guy who bullied him.
Oh, that's
but, like,
right.
In the future,
okay. Yeah.
But in the future, he's like a pot-bellied guy, and like he works for him in the future,
right?
And he was like, and he's saying like, yeah, so we don't understand why you're with her, but you know, like, whatever. And then Beck Bennett comes out as the older version,
the 35-year-old version.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Trent. And he's still with Tishy.
Yeah, yeah. But
who looks exactly the same and still has the same broken arm.
Yeah, exactly. And like Mikey is like, wait, your arm's still in a cast? And like they're married at that point.
Right.
And they don't understand why he's with her until Tishy says, oh, yeah, I own Samsung.
Mm-hmm. And she's a billionaire.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then that's it. The end.
Weird, random sketch.
I mean,
it had a few laughs, but
yeah,
it was more odd than funny.
Yeah. And I mean, the payoff, I don't know. The payoff was like, oh, okay. Oh, so she's a billionaire. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, I mean, it was more about, I mean, Sandra Oh did some nice character work as Tishy.
She was in it. She was like fully committed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like another thing where the host is like fully in it and fully committed. It's just like the writing, and I don't know, something was just off. And it was just like,
yeah,
oh, okay. And the end.
It kind of reminded, like, with Mikey Day's incredulous reactions, where, like, why am I doing this? It reminded me a little of the Letter Home
sketches
that he did. I mean, I don't know if this was also like written or co-written by Mikey Day, mm-hmm. But it just,
Michael Day. Mikey Day is my
yeah.
I go by Michael Day.
But
now.
but it seemed like his incredulous reaction seemed like of a kind with that,
right.
With that earlier piece.
Yeah, because didn't he also do the same thing in the Halsey episode where like his parents were calling him.
Oh yeah,
and the parents were like, your mom's been shot. And then, you know, he calls back, oh my God, what do you mean my mom's been shot? Like, he does that mm-hmm. quite a bit.
Like, he does that well. That's like that's yeah. a good strength of his. That's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we joked originally like how it's hard to tell Mikey and Alex apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we called them Mikey Moffitt and
Alex Day.
But like, they're starting to sort of, you know, separate themselves a little bit more and more.
Yeah, it's like an amoeba dividing.
Yes. Yes. Just
the one-celled creature just slowly turning into...
Yes, the once, which was... Which, I don't know, fuck it. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I was going to say, which once was one is now two, but...
Sure.
I could not... I just couldn't get it out.
No.
Couldn't get it out.
That's okay.
That's what happens, people. Live That's podcasting.
Okay. Yep.
It happened. So the next sketch, the Kremlin sketch
with Beck Bennett returning as Vladimir Putin. This time wearing a shirt,
yeah,
which
exactly.
kind of weirded me out.
Doesn't stay on very long, though.
No, he takes it off by the end of the sketch, and they were he basically admits that, you know, the Mueller report comes out, and he admits that Trump wasn't working for Russia.
Yeah, and now his people are bummed out about it.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, well, this was like really cool for Russia.
Yeah,
this
it's like, oh, we looked like we had control over the U.S. and now. Yeah. And like I think one of them says, "Oh, I was going to throw a party."
And they were all hyped to have an American president blackmailed as to be a KGB asset.
Yeah,
and I think they said it sounds like a bad '80s movie.
Yeah, that was funny.
And
they're all kind of bemoaning the fact. And then what was it? Oh, Kim Jong-un comes in,
right?
Played by a SNL writer,
Writer Bowen Yang.
Yes, and comedian And Sandra Oh was his interpreter,
mm-hmm.
and you know there were
and it was funny because I was like I was as the sketch started it was Beck as Vladimir Putin, we had Mikey Day and Alex Moffat and Cecily Strong as the other aide there, and you're watching the beginning of this and you're like, well, how are they going to bring Sandra Oh into this, because they have to incorporate the host somehow.
They do,
and
and sure enough,
so they have Bowen Yang come in as Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, and he was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen on Twitter people saying, oh, he should be like maybe part of the cast, maybe.
Because they've never had an Asian cast member on
the show.
They've
never had one.
Which is kind of amazing when you think
about it. Yeah, it's pretty much like, oh, he should be part of it. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe this will be the step in their first Asian cast member.
I saw there was a cute video on Instagram this morning that Cecily Strong posted of her next to Bowen Yang while he's getting fitted with his
the wig.
Kim Jong-un wig.
Right.
And it must have been shot like during the show or like, you know, as they were prepping for that sketch, because like Cecily also had like a one of those wig, one of those caps you put on.
Yeah, the wig.
Yeah.
Just say wig.
Well, like it's the thing you put on and then you put the wig on top of it.
Oh, you mean like the...
The thing that holds your real hair.
Like the hairnet or something like that? Or
it wasn't a
stocking?
Something like that. I don't know the terminology of it.
Like a silk stocking or something like that? Or pantyhose?
Yes, it was the 90s TV show Silk Stockings.
Oh, shit!
Everyone gets murdered in hot tubs.
Oh, my God. So. That show was phenomenal. Silk Stockings? You remember Silk Stockings?
I remember the fact that it existed. I don't think I ever actually watched a full episode.
All right.
But I know it was about like a man or a woman and they just investigated all these sexy murders.
Yeah, I just remember it was on USA.
Right.
I remember a lot of saxophone music being played.
Sure, that tracks.
Yeah, hot tubs, 80s vibe. I'm sure it took
like, lots of women in lingerie.
Yeah, I'm sure like, you know, a lot of slow moving women in lingerie. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it took place in Miami or something. And
probably.
You know,
that sounds about right.
Neon lights
mm-hmm.
type of deal. Yeah, silk stockings. That was great. Oh, the sketch. Sorry.
The sketch.
Yeah, and then it ended with Kim Jong-un kind of taunting him,
mm-hmm.
Taunting Putin, saying, oh, maybe you're not the tough guy we thought you were. And then it ends with Putin like kind of threatening one of his aides, saying, oh, maybe I'll, you know, send you to Siberia and murder your children or something
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, oh, that's the Putin we know. Putin's back, baby. And then he takes off his shirt.
Yeah.
And the end.
Mm-hmm. This was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Did a lot of these guys excite me in a big, big way, but...
Yeah. You see what we mean, guys, when we say peaks, at more valleys and peaks? It's... What I don't know. I mean, what do you think was off? It was about all these sketches so far. It's just...
It could just be that... Like that, they got back after a break and they were just having trouble getting back into the groove.
Yeah,
or that might be it. I don't know.
It was just like, oh, okay.
It's tough to say. I mean, you know, as we said, I wouldn't put any of this on Sandra Oh.
No, I'd say game.
She was fine in everything she did. I didn't think she was a spectacular host. But I didn't think she was a bad host.
Okay,
she was fine.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, it was just like I don't know, but it began slow in the beginning, but I do think it picked up toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so after this, we had Tame Impala gave her...
Tame Impala, a good, reliable vehicle.
Yes.
Four-wheel drive, 3.6 liter V6 engine.
Great suspension.
305 horsepower, direct injection, variable value timing, EPA estimated 18 miles per gallon.
Wait, what are you doing right now?
In the city, 28 in the highway.
What's happening?
And it's $4,385 off MSRP through Memorial Day. So, nice.
So what's the Blue Book value on that?
I did not get that down.
See, I'm sorry. I tried to yes and your whatever you're doing.
I know, but I'd reached the end of the notes I copied on.
I see. Oh, okay. Have you heard of Tame Impala before? Apparently, they have a huge following.
They were announced as the musical guest
apparently,
of the show.
Apparently, they're a huge deal, and like it was a big deal that they... did the show, because apparently I don't think they put out new music at all. I don't even know if Tame Impala is like one dude or
I'm
like
confused
a, or
by
a
that
band.
As well, quite honestly.
Like I know it's
and
like
I was not curious enough to Google it.
I mean, I know the Tame Impala is like the main guy is this one dude from Australia. And okay. I think it's just him and like he switches band. I don't know. I feel like all the Tame Impala heads are gonna be all...
Are they going to be after us?
Yeah, the Impala-holics.
Bring it on, Tame Impala heads.
Yeah, well, yeah, all right.
We can take you.
All right. Well, it seemed like the last time that he or the band put out music was back in 2015, so the fact that...
Wow, that's so weird that they're on the show without a new album or something to promote. Are they touring or something?
I think so, and it looks like the two songs he did were like two new singles he debuted.
Oh, okay.
So this is like, oh... Tame Impala is back, baby. And I mean, I listened to his music. It's good music. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It seems like very kind of mellow, funky, like Coachella type of music.
Yeah.
Like something you'd see like at a Coachella concert where some white girl in a body paint with a Indian headdress would dance to or something like that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel the music, baby.
Some white girl in an Indian headdress.
Yeah, that's not Coachella.
I'm not debating that.
I've never been to Coachella, but when I hear Coachella, that's what I imagine.
Just, right.
You know, some wealthy white woman, you know, dancing with body paint.
I bet if Silk Stockings was still on the air, they'd have like some woman in an Indian headdress like murdered at Coachella.
Oh, my God.
And they could investigate that, and that could be the new sexy murder
guys,
to investigate.
Silk Stocking reboot. We just gave you an idea.
So. All right. We're going to start work on our spec script as soon as we're done recording this.
Hulu, just get ready for a call, because you're going to get a call.
That's right.
From us.
That's right.
With a Silk Stockings reboot. it makes money.
We're reviving everything. We're reviving Will and Grace. We're reviving Twilight Zone. It's time for Silk Stockings to come back.
Let's do it, people. Oh, my God.
We can make this happen.
People are gnawing at the bit for this.
But no, I don't have too much to say about Tame Impala's music. I thought they were fine, honestly.
It's fine.
I enjoyed that they had like the sort of psychedelic light show thing.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty groovy.
That's probably what I was most impressed by, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're bumming out a few of our Impala. Because I know that one guy we follow, people at That Week in SNL, he's a big Tame Impala fan.
So okay.
If he's listening to this, he's like... No, Tame Impala is amazing, man. You just don't know, and rah, rah, rah. But I was like, it's
well,
fine.
We've disagreed with him before.
Yes, we have. Oh, our Twitter's blown up.
That's right.
I can see it.
What was the second song? Was he singing Pollinate Your Love? That was what I got.
Oh, my God.
It sounded like he sang Pollinate Your Love. And I don't know if I heard that right.
It's possible.
Pollinate
Your Love.
Yeah, I just...
Well, he did two songs, Patience and I think it was called like Backstreets or Landslide. backside. That sounds gross. All right, I'll look it up.
Okay.
But yeah, let's move it. Let's keep it moving.
All right, so next we had, as weekend we usually update. Do, following the musical guest, Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Yeah, that's Che.
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 I thought this was a strong one.
Mm-hmm.
I really dug this one. So, of course, they talked about, Mueller and, how the
White OJ was not indicted on collusion.
Oh, my God. Borderline. All right. Tame Impala, he debuted two songs, Borderline and Patience.
Okay.
So
nothing about pollinating.
Nothing about pollination. Nothing about bees or flowers or anything like
That's a little disappointing.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Right. But anyway, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update, yes. They were also talking about how the Fox News pundits were very happy that, of course, there was no collusion found in the report, I believe. And Joe said, I haven't seen, Fox News pundits, people smile like this since ICE agents pulled into a Home Depot parking lot. It got groans.
Yeah.
It was a good line. And, of course, I like Che's take on it, where Che was like, I can't believe that I thought that maybe, Mueller would arrest a president of the United States of America.
Because he's guilty.
Yeah, just because he's guilty, exactly. And he said, I know I've been hanging around, white people too many times, because white people have that toxic optimism.
Yeah, term for it.
Yeah, very much so. And, black people just know, it's like, no, this is probably not going to go the way it's going to go. I would say a lot. Again, Che always has an awesome take on things.
Yeah. I that was a cool take that I haven't heard anywhere else. And as with most of the things that Che says when he's talking about the news, I'm just like, yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, because people think, oh, this person is clearly guilty. Of course he's going to go to jail.
Of course the system's going to work.
Of course everything's going to work out fine and good guys win. And, black people know enough to be like, No.
Do they, though?
Do they, though?
Does it work, though?
Oh, God. All right, so there was that, which was great stuff. And then we had Cecily Strong as Janine Pyro. And I am loving this impression of her. Every time I see it, I laugh.
It's something to look forward to now.
Yeah, I think she's really honed it.
Yeah. It's really good. And the writing was really sharp. The real Janine Pyro apparently just returned to Fox News from a 2-week suspension because she said something racist
on Fox News. No.
I know it's shocking.
What?
It's shocking.
I find it can't be
as hard to believe as you do. But
what?
I know.
I fly out of my chair.
and she thanked her super fans, mean horny men laying in home hospital beds, and white prison gangs who control the remote on Saturdays. Which
that's very specific.
Very specific, but
I mean, it's not wrong.
I enjoyed that, and
And of course, she said, the Mueller report proved that Trump is innocent and that he's a sex machine who can wax that ass from dusk till dawn.
I didn't need that mental image.
You got it.
Yeah.
You didn't need it, but you got it.
I didn't, but it's there in my head.
And you're welcome.
I don't know what to do with it.
Well, just drink it away like the rest of America.
Yeah. that's what I'm going to have to do. Cecily also had some great physical comedy. She did two out-of-the-chair flops.
Yeah. There was a point where Jost mentioned, Trump said he's going to... I don't know if you heard, but Trump said he's going to close the border. And, of course, Janine Pyro says, what? And she just literally kind of falls backwards out of her chair, legs in the air.
Yeah.
Very physical.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, Colin Jost sees that and, of course, breaks down laughing.
He lost it. So, it seems like such a genuine reaction that I wonder if he must not have been aware that she was going to do that.
I don't think he was.
Yeah.
But
it could have been something they added after dress or something like that.
Yeah,
and then she did it again later and lost a shoe.
Her shoe flew off the second time she did it, and that's when I lost it.
That was impressive.
If you fall down around me and your shoe flies off, I will laugh. That's a guarantee.
That's
a Patterson promise.
I thought this was the highlight of the show for me.
I think so.
It was a great character bit. I mean, Cecily, she was very light in the show before this, and
yeah.
It's just great character work. It didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah. I like it. I hope to see more of Janine Pyro in the future.
I mean, that's one of her go-to characters now.
Yeah. This might be the fifth or sixth time she did it or something.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
We're big Cecily Strong fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or absolutely. As some people call her online,
Sexily Strong. I discovered this morning. I went to YouTube to rewatch that segment so I could quote it accurately. And of course, because it's YouTube and it's accessible, half the comments are about like how hot Cecily Strong is.
It gets gross.
And one of the commenters called her Sexily Strong. And I was like, okay, you know, that's actually kind of clever.
It is. It's funny.
Hats off to you, YouTube commenter.
Yes, but, well done. Sometimes through the muck of YouTube, you will find some little bit of, nugget of
way gold. To cleverly objectify her.
Yay. So, of course, there's a couple other segments. Michael Che mentions that Alanis Morissette is pregnant and says, I guess she forgot to take her jagged little pill.
Yeah, which got groans, but Jay, I love it when he gets groans. He just doesn't care. He just
yeah. There was another joke through. where he said, that some people a zebra escaped from a zoo and they end up shooting the animal,
mm-hmm.
which answers the age old question: what's black and white and red all over?
Yeah,
and that guy even I groaned at. I was at home. I was like, oh Jesus!
They had a joke about because Nicolas Cage was in the news. He got married and then tried to have the marriage annulled 4 days later.
Right.
I was disappointed because I was really hoping that was going to be a lead into the return of Get in the Cage with Andy Samberg as Nicolas Cage. I would have loved that if Andy Samberg just came on as a surprise cameo as Nicolas Cage. Because I always enjoyed that.
Yeah. That would have been beautiful.
I was very disappointed that did not give us a new Andy Samberg and Nicolas Cage.
I'm sorry.
That would have been fun.
Why?
We could have used that. We could have used a nice surprise cameo.
We could have, yeah, but we could have, but we didn't. But we did get A.D. Bryan as the astronaut who didn't get into space because apparently NASA doesn't have space suits for ladies.
Well, she got into space, but she couldn't go on the spacewalk.
Oh, she couldn't go on the walk.
Yeah,
right.
So she couldn't leave the spacecraft.
I'm sorry. I get all my news from Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
Sorry.
Sure. And
GIFs.
Yes. As you should.
As I should.
Yeah. This was fine. It was all right.
It was all right. Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of the humor came from the fact that she was trying to show that she wasn't upset, mm-hmm. that she didn't go on a spacewalk, but she clearly was upset. So it was just like, I'm fine.
And then they cut to Melissa Villaseñor and Beck Bennett as the two astronauts who did go on the spacewalk. And right. Beck Bennett was like, hi, I'm Nick. And I've done this like 5 times. It's pretty routine now. I mean, it's just so he's not excited about it anymore. And of course, A.D. Bryan is just crushed because, who knows if she's going to get another chance to walk in space.
Yeah, and A.D. Bryan, I mean, she had a good closing line where it said, to all the girls out there, you can do whatever you want. You can be astronauts, just not all at the same time.
Yes.
I was like, all right, that's a funny line.
I like how they also called out NASA for, like, yeah, we have spacesuits for monkeys and dogs. But women, nope. That's beyond us. We can't do that.
Can't do it. Can't do a spacesuit for hers.
Nope.
Dress Barn don't make spacesuits.
Nope.
Lane Bryant. I'm trying to think of other ladies.
That's more than I would have been able to name, I think.
Yeah.
Next, we had an office coffee break.
Yeah.
Where we discover it's Kate McKinnon. She's Louise from Payroll, and she's having her 85th birthday. So, I mean, right there, whenever you have Kate McKinnon playing a really old woman, that's a great start. And all her coworkers are saying, what do you want for your birthday? And she just wants her coworkers to kiss.
Yeah.
And so she's just trying to persuade them to kiss each other.
She's basically trying to get like an orgy started at work.
To get that going, at one point she asks for a six-way Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. But
I feel like it's something the SNL writers just made up, but I haven't done that Google search yet to confirm that. But
I'm afraid to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure my computer's going to get a virus after I do that.
You're going to be on some weird list.
Yeah.
After you Google that.
Yeah, I don't need that now in my life.
I think if you're still in an office job at 85, you should be allowed to start an orgy with your coworkers.
Wow. Bold stance.
I'm going to go out on a limb there. But yeah.
You should just
respect.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, if you're not going to get a gold watch, you better get an orgy.
That's right. You should get to see as many orgies as you want by the time you reach 85.
Right on.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yes. John Trumbull, pro orgy. Let's put that out there.
Sure.
But yeah, as far as the sketch goes, like, I mean, it was okay. I mean, then it didn't seem like anything really.
We are so singularly unenthused about this.
This
episode.
Whole yeah, I can't. I'm trying to muster up enthusiasm. I really can't. I really can't. A lot of the sketches are just like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
That was the thing that they did. This is an episode that certainly ate up an hour and a half of network airtime.
It certainly was a show.
Yeah.
But actually, no, the next sketch I actually liked quite a bit. The checks.
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 Yeah, and it's another commercial. And the premise is... Yeah, and the premise is basically like how we all use... you know, Venmo and PayPal these days, and just kind of use apps to pay each other money.
It's so convenient.
Yeah, it's very convenient. Apple Pay.
But there's nothing like furiously scribbling on a piece of paper, tearing it, handing it over with a flick of your wrist and saying, I trust this will suffice.
Yes, exactly.
Which is still a thing that they do on shows
all
the time. And you don't really think how weird that is. Because in this day and age, you don't write checks. I mean, the only thing I write a check for is my rent.
Really? I still write checks. I'm still like old school like that. Uh-huh. It's like that's what I grew up with. I still write checks. I still listen to CDs. And that's the way I like it.
Okay.
That's right. So what? But yeah, in the commercial, it's basically like they have like a lot of women, you know, A.D. Bryant, Kit McKinnon kind of.
And Sandra Oh.
And Sandra, yeah. And it's like dramatically writing checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they say, oh, you can write a check for buying poison or to hushing Mildred.
Yes.
Or you know, paying your daughter's boyfriend to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I hope this is enough to keep you away from our family.
Yeah.
And that type of flourishing.
I enjoyed like how much they threw themselves into the melodrama of this.
Very much so.
It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was a quick thing. It was only like 2 minutes long.
Yeah. It was quick. It was good. And actually on Twitter, I think that weekend, SNL tweeted out something like, oh, this feels like it was a Julio Torres sketch, like he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted back to him, and I tagged Julio in it. It's like, yeah, this had to be a Julio. If you don't know Julio Torres, he's this great writer. He wrote the Wells for Boys
sketch. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I liked that sketch quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And it has like that Julio like flourish to it. And I tweeted it out, and Julio liked it.
Ooh.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So I guess he did write this sketch.
I guess. I mean, he didn't say he did, but he liked it, so that's something.
Okay.
Yeah, Julio Torres. I did a show with him years ago in Staten Island.
So. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I rub elbows with the fancy elite.
Look
writer.
At you.
Yeah, I mean, it was before he wrote on SNL, but it was like, God, maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, probably more.
Oh.
And like he like I did okay, I guess, on the show, but he really did well.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did this one joke that's on his special, his half-hour special, where he says, all right, guys, so now we're going to do a little thing called brunch talk where, you know, I invite somebody to the stage and we have a discussion like we're at brunch. So he invited somebody onto the stage saying, oh, what's your name? My name's Steve. All right. And he said, all right, Steve, tell me a little bit about yourself. How was your day? What'd you do today? And then as Steve talks about his day, Julio just like pulls out his phone and looks at it and doesn't pay attention to him at all.
Oh, cute.
And I was really funny. And like that killed at the show.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, yeah. That when I saw this sketch, I was like, yeah, that feels like a Julio Torres sketch. So
all right.
Seems like it was.
Cool.
So shout out to Julio Torres.
All right.
So next up, the Roots of Rock sketch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this one?
Well, this one it was like a flashback to an old American Bandstand type show,
right?
With they had Leslie Jones as Ida May. I didn't get the character's last name,
right?
Who is like a singer who made a important appearance on this show,
right?
But we also had Keenan as Jarvis Fillmore. Playing a song. What was the name of the song?
Electric Shoes.
Electric Shoes.
He kept saying it over and over.
I know.
Electric Shoes.
And he didn't stop playing. I mean, it was kind of similar to What Up With That.
Yeah, very much so. But like basically it's Jarvis singing Electric Shoes, and like when he finishes the song, and you think he's the end at the, you think he's done. But then he like comes back to it and like, oh,
he's coming back for encores.
Singing Electric Shoes. And
he ends up in the crowd. He's singing Electric Shoes. Yeah. And then Ida May is starting her number and he comes back. And
he comes back and sings Electric Shoes. And it was, you know, it was all right. And even at the end, because this is like a flashback. It was like a PBS documentary thing hosted by Kyle Mooney.
Right.
And even as Kyle Mooney comes back and sings it, Jarvis comes in again and sings Electric Shoes.
Yeah, and he's like, it's 30 years later and I'm still singing
Electric Shoes. That was the end of the sketch.
Yeah, that was there were two things that I reacted to. Like, one, we had like a lot of extras playing the band.
Yeah.
And they're obviously like just miming their instruments.
Right.
And I was just like, well, you have a real band there. Why not just have the real band play?
I don't know.
Because they're obviously playing that stuff off stage.
Right.
Why? It just seemed like a weird thing.
I feel like there's a reason for that. Like, maybe because you need the band there to play.
Yeah, maybe in between they could move them or something. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was with that, but it just struck me as exceptionally strange.
It irked you.
It irked me. It irked me. I mean, it didn't bug me in a big way. It was just like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. All right. That was the second thing. Yeah.
The second thing was, I thought that this sketch was kind of a perfect metaphor for the Kenan staying on SNL for so long.
Wow. Yeah, because you got into it with some people online.
I did.
On the Twitter sphere.
The Twitter sphere. Yeah, because I'm of the mind that Kenan has, while he is good, he has given everything he possibly can to SNL, and he should have left the show a long time ago. That is my basic feeling on Kenan.
Chihuahua. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, he has been there for a while. I think we've kind of seen him. I mean, he's good at what he does, but I think we've kind of seen all he can do.
I mean, I think after you're on the show for 6 or 7 years, we've seen most everything in your bag of tricks.
Yeah.
All right. Because I'll give you that. I mean, you do 20-something shows a season, so that's like 120 episodes. Am I doing the math right?
I don't know math.
Yeah.
numbers frighten me.
Okay.
But yeah, it sounds about right.
But yeah, so I think that's a good natural lifespan for an SNL cast member.
All right. That's fair enough.
And Kenan has been on since, what, like the Paleozoic era?
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. He's been on that. Yeah.
Since like the early 2000s, I think.
Let's look that up.
Okay.
Has been on it for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean.
And my feeling is also that he's allowed to be like very self-indulgent now, which I don't think is a good thing.
Because like people just know, oh, it's Kenan. He'll.
Yeah, and I think it's gotten to the point where he's almost a crutch for the show.
Hmm.
So because they, this is my feeling, but there are other people who are still on the Kenan train. I'm just not really one of them.
You're entitled to your opinions.
Yeah,
and
Kenan, I should clarify, he has done stuff I have loved. I love What's Up With That.
Yeah,
I.
What's Up With That? Wow.
That was,
all right. Kenan has been on since 2003.
So,
he was on the show before I met my wife.
So kids who were born when Kenan first came on the show are now in high school.
Yeah. Wait. So 2003 to 2019. So that's 16 years. Yeah. Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. They're
right. Wow. He had
smack dab in the middle of high school.
Yeah. He joined the cast in 2003, becoming first SNL cast member to be born after SNL's premiere in 1975.
Thompson, that's a better trivia.
Thompson was a featured player until 2005 and was promoted to repertory player in 2005, 2006. Yes. Wow. So, yeah, if you were born when Kenan joined, you'd be in high school. God damn. Wow.
See, that's a long time.
It is. Wow. All right. this really hitting me.
So this is why I said on Twitter.
First the Monty Python, now this.
I feel like he could have left the show like 10 years ago and that would have been fine. That still would have been a lot of Kenan.
Yeah. All right.
But
I can't dispute that. And actually, we also had like another comment about this sketch. I was, you know, live tweeting it. I was live tweeting it as I do. And one of our listeners, Ruby the Rube.
Yes.
Ruby said, what they should have done is they should have had this sketch show earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the show, had Kenan's character interrupt other sketches.
That would have been good.
As like a runner.
Yeah.
And like he even could have been in like digital shorts or like, you know, those fake commercials.
I can see that.
And like an Energizer Bunny type of thing.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of times SNL has trouble ending sketches well, and given right. and that could have killed two birds with one stone.
You know?
Like, you could have done this in the first half hour of the show,
yeah.
and then had him pop up throughout the show. That would have been fun.
Yeah, like the more I think about it, like I was like, oh, I think about what Ruby said. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. They should have had like him interrupt other sketches, and that mm-hmm. would have been like made it a little bit more pop, a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely, wow. definitely.
So shout out to Ruby the Rube.
I am totally on board with that idea. That would have been a funny idea.
Yeah, but they didn't do that, and here we are.
So next we had the last sketch of the night.
Final sketch.
The 10-1 land.
Yeah.
In the same classroom set.
Same classroom set.
I don't think they even bothered like repainting it or anything anymore.
I think they still use the same extras.
Yeah. So we had Sandra Oh as a teacher, and she's getting the kids ready for one of the standardized tests.
Right.
And she's asking them sample questions, and they keep going on to these long monologues, these big emotional speeches.
Right.
And A.D. Bryant and Kate McKinnon were dressed up like Claire Danes and Jared Leto from My So-Called Life.
Yeah, I kind of picked that up, but I didn't put it together until somebody mentioned it on Twitter. Like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, they're dressed like My So-Called Life.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they get, yeah, like you said.
And there are already memes about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a big, I didn't watch My So-Called Life when it was out.
I didn't care for the show.
Too busy watching, Briscoe County Jr. and
sure.
Sliders or Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff.
I think they're bringing Sliders back, aren't they?
What?
I think I heard something like that, yeah.
Oh, shit. Wow, this just in.
It's up there with Twilight Zone and Will and Grace and Silk Stockings.
So. Yes, Silk the Silk Stockings reboot. Wow,
that's right.
Wow. All
so, right. But everything is returning.
It all comes back.
This was cute. I didn't think it had a real ending. It just
yeah.
kind of stopped.
Yeah, very much. I mean, I'm wondering like if I watched My So-Called Life, would I get it more? Like, you know, if I didn't see This Is Us, I wouldn't get the This Is Us Discover card thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like really so much specifically parodying My So-Called Life. I think that was just more like an extra icing on the cake thing.
Oh, okay. So it was just like a little wink and a nod.
Yeah, I don't know if they were really parodying any specific tropes. But I think maybe Jared Leto's character had trouble reading or something, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, because I can't read.
Yeah.
I guess. So you didn't watch My So-Called Life at all?
I remember I watched the pilot. I didn't care for it, and I don't think I watched beyond that.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to get...
Sorry, all my So-Called Life fans. And
all the lifers? My So-Called Lifers?
Come at me, I guess. I don't think I even care enough about my So-Called Life to get into an argument with the So-Called Life people.
You're gonna stir up the life hive. Or whatever they call themselves.
Okay.
The lifeaholics. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're petering. We're just doing a lot of petering out, like a lot of these sketches petered out, basically.
Yeah.
It was just like.
It was a very mediocre show at best.
Yeah, I'll give you
at
that.
At best.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun to see at the Good Nights, Sandra Oh positively giddy.
Yeah.
And that was just fun to see.
Yeah.
She was so thrilled and just see her hugging everyone.
I mean, yeah, yeah. She was loving it. She was actually wearing a t-shirt with her own quote from the Emmys. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I don't think I realized that was quoting herself.
Yeah, yeah. It was she said this so quote at the Emmys where it's saying it's an honor just to be Asian. And she had a t-shirt saying that, mm-hmm. herself. And,
all right.
I guess there's t-shirts out there you can buy.
Yeah, I did watch it when she co-hosted the Emmys with not Adam Sandler.
Sandberg. No, but that was the Golden Globes. But I think she said that quote at the Emmys.
Oh, okay. You
know, apropos of the Sandberg thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, she seemed game for it. But, yeah, like, aside from the Czech sketch and, you know, Janine Pyro, you know, Cecily Strong, everything else was just...
It was just kind of a mess.
Yeah. I can't defend it.
Yeah. I'm... Worst of the season, you think, or?
Ooh. I don't know. I looked online. A few people think the Steve Carell episode was worst.
That wasn't great. That was a disappointing episode.
This might be
on
par with that.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back into the archives and do a little search.
Do
a little recon.
Yeah.
But, this episode was just...
Yeah, there just wasn't much that excited me.
Yeah.
So...
See, we're struggling to think of things to say now about it, and we just
Well, nothing. You know, hey, that's fine. But
yeah. So yeah, so that's the episode.
That's the episode. SNL is going to be back next week on April 6th with Kit Harington from Game of Thrones hosting and Sarah Bareilles as the musical guest.
Musical guesting.
Yes.
Yeah, Kit Harington, I don't know much about Kit.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I looked him up a little bit. It seems like he hadn't done any comedy.
He's the fellow that plays Jon Snow.
Yes.
Who I know is a big character on that show. Neither one of us watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so.
As we made abundantly clear when we had the Kyle Drogo sketch with
Kyle Drogo, Ghost Jogo.
Yeah.
Ghost Jogo? What? Dojo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you're gonna be very upset with our ignorance of the show. It's like, oh, they're not even getting it right.
Come at us, Game of Thrones fans.
Damn, but we are just throwing shade at everybody. The Life Hive, the Game of Thrones people. This is my lord.
There'll probably be some hardcore Silk Stalking fans who are offended somehow.
The Stalkaholics.
The Stalkaholics. I like that.
I mean, it's oh my God, it's gonna be a bloodbath. Mm. But yeah, it seemed like he hadn't done much comedy, so I'm cautiously optimistic about this one.
I don't know.
And Sarah Bareilles is she sings.
I enjoy her.
Oh, there you go.
I'm vaguely familiar with her.
All right, so there you go.
So
nice. All right, so yeah, that's our episode, and that's all we got. So is there anything you got to plug or promote?
Well, we got a show coming up.
We do have a show.
We're gonna be co-hosting a show over in Newark. What's the name of the bar again? I keep forgetting.
It is the Kilkenny Ale House in beautiful Newark, New Jersey, 27 Central Avenue. Mm-hmm. We'll be there this Friday, April 5th at 8 p.m. at the Brick City Comedy Review.
Yes. So,
so if you're in the area... Come swing on by.
Yeah, and say hi and tell us you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, give us a hug and a pound, as the kids say. You know, you could buy us liquor.
That would be fine.
You know, or chicken fingers or whatever.
I also like chicken fingers.
Or just give us money outright. That'd help.
That's fine too.
That would just help me immensely.
Yeah. Just hand us money.
Write me a check.
If you also want to give us a review over on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, that would help us out.
Please.
I checked this morning. We haven't gotten a review on the iTunes since February, which.
What is that about? People, pick it up.
If you just give us a review, give us a rating. We would prefer 5 stars, but whatever is in your heart. And
be honest.
That helps us out. That boosts us in the algorithms and all that good stuff. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at SNL Nerds Show.
Right.
On Twitter, you can get into debates with us about Kenan Thompson.
You can angrily tweet at us your thoughts and... And prayers.
That's right.
Prayers. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Darren Credible, Instagram, Twitter, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can find me at Trumbull Comic.
Yeah. Oh, and Patreon, too. Find us on, donate money to our Patreon.
Yeah. You can find that on non-productive.com.
Yes. Give us money. Lots and lots of money.
I don't think you can write checks for that. You have to do like some sort of the more modern digital thing of the Venmo, transferring money.
Yeah. Do it through a computers and a... Sets of tubes.
I don't care for these computer
systems. I don't trust them. No. They're going to rise. No. It's going to be a rise of the machines.
Skynet is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Judgment Day is coming, people.
Oh, it's upon us.
It's upon us.
This is why I'm building RoboCop right now.
Yeah, that's right. RoboCop versus Terminator. Yes. That's right.
The ultimate revenge.
All right.
Johnny Five Alive.
But that's it for us this week. We will see you next week.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.